Tonight we have a great surprise for you. I'm going to share that surprise for you just a little bit. I do want to share this. We went to a funeral of a gracious lady today who would have been 93 years old in April. As far back as I could remember being in church, I knew this lady to be a saint, a precious saint of God. She was a close friend of my mother. She was the sister of Sharon Bailey. Her name was Grace, and it couldn't have been a better name for a precious, gracious lady. And I was reminiscing on the way home today. I took Mother. Mother wanted to go to the funeral, and on the way home, I was thinking about probably some of the first special singing that I heard in church was from Grace and Sharon. Grace had a straight guitar, and she played, and her and Sharon sang, and they both had angelic voices. And one of the songs that stuck out in my mind, I don't remember the name of it, but something was, "If anyone makes it all the way home, surely I will. Surely I will, Lord." Sister Grace sang lead, Sister Sharon sang harmony, and she would repeat those words. And I thought, my, the angel band just got blessed by a brand new voice, because the last two or three years she's been in a nursing home and was not able to really vocalize. But I'm just thinking that heaven's a much sweeter place than that. So, for a very precious lady, and it's just that so many of the people that I grew up in church with have already gone. That it gives meaning to that song. I got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. So many of the people that instrumental in praying for me and ministering to me, Sunday school teachers and youth leaders and pastors and just precious saints of God that I have such a fond memory, have already gone home. But that just makes it seem that much sweeter. Amen. Now for the surprise. Amen. I've asked five of our ministers tonight to bring us around about a five-minute testimony, sermonette. And I don't have a bell to ring, but we're going to depend on the Holy Ghost just to lead them and guide them. So who's got number one? Come on, number one, and just give us that the Lord has laid upon your heart. Brother Tony. Amen. It's always first to get it over and done with. Ain't it? Amen.
Blessing Jesus. Well, if you know anything about me, in about 3 minutes I should be done, so don't worry. Don't worry about that bell. Brother Eddie asked, he gave me a number to draw, and I got it, and he was telling me what it was, and I was like, okay, that'd be fine. And I looked and I went, oh, number one. But you know, I praise God for his blessings. I thank him for the opportunity. I stand up here tonight just hopefully as humbly as I can, knowing that I don't belong up here talking to a bunch of people who know a lot more than me, probably live a lot better than me. But I praise God for this opportunity. I praise him for his many blessings. I had a good friend, or a friend at work today, they texted me this morning right before church and told me he had passed away. We had had I think he was maybe in his 50s. He had had cancer, and then he had got pneumonia. He wasn't doing good. Well, through this, last time I was up here, I talked that through this situation, I got to pray with a guy I never thought I'd be able to get to pray with. I got to go into his office, shut the door, and I mean, you could feel God in it when he was praying, and the hurt in his heart, but yet the sincerity as well. And I really, it really moved me, and I really did. I just believed God was going to heal him, and God was going to move, and he was going to be back at work for two off alone. I know God doesn't work on my time. God doesn't work on my plans, and I praise him for that, even though it's hard at times. It's hard to see things like that. But I know God has a divine purpose. I know God has a reason for it. I know he knows a lot more than I do. So I try myself not to question him, especially when I teach the teens that you have to live it by faith and you have to truly seek God and live for him. So sometimes it's not always easiest when you got to live to it. It's easier to tell about it. But, you know, I praise God, and I know through this he's going to get glory. Through this he's going to get honor. Through this he's going to bless people. And maybe that one guy's life that I got to pray with that day, maybe it's going to change forever to God, to show that, you know, life is but a vapor. We're here today and gone tomorrow. It's not meant to be here forever. So hopefully the guy was right in his soul with God. From what I heard talking to some people, I think he was. But I'll tell you what, I honestly didn't take that opportunity to talk to him. Seen him every day, never knew he had cancer. So my heart kind of goes out to them tonight. When I was sitting back there thinking, I was thinking about, I was flipping through and I run across this scripture in 1 Peter 2:8. It says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy." God has called us all out of darkness to live into the light. It's up to us whether we take it, whether we receive it, whether we do something with it, or whether we just stay in the darkness with everyone else. I hope and pray that my light shines through. I hope and pray that my light shines and other people see it, just like through this situation. Even though it seems loom and gloom and it's dark now, I know that God is going to make a way. I know that God is going to bless people through it. I didn't want to come up here and just be like it was a downer to everybody. But that's where my heart was tonight, and just praising God because he's called us out of the light. And it's up to us to get out of that darkness. He's called us into the light. Don't live in the darkness. We've had a great opportunity for the past, 3 or 4 weeks? I don't know where Chase went. 3 or 4 weeks maybe that we've had the teenagers be able to teach. We had a snowstorm come through. I don't know if y'all remember it. And I unfortunately had to work on it. But Lazarus taught. And then Summer. And then Jackson. And then Micah did last week. And I'm telling you, sit and listen to these kids talk. It's amazing watching God. Because you think you've been in church all your life. You think you know. I mean, you know, you pretty much know the basics about the Bible. But you see these kids. And when you see them be able to teach, then you see a hunger stir up inside of them and a difference. I've always told people at work, whenever you run a crew, you had a different mindset than when you're just a worker on a crew. Because when you become running the crew, all the responsibility's on you and they're looking to you for answers. And it's the same way when you're sitting there and you're listening, you're just kicked back. But then when they started teaching, just to hear their hearts, because that's what they're teaching is their hearts. And I could think the joy of the Lord is what I just kept thinking earlier, the joy of the Lord. And that's what they've brought back into our life. And I believe that was Miss Summer. That's what she taught about, was how happiness we find in the world, and it can give or take. It can go or leave. It can come. But happiness is up and down. But the joy that the Lord puts in your soul is in your soul forever. It's up to us whether we give it up. It's up to us whether we don't live with it. It's up to us with what we do with that joy. But God has put that joy in our heart and in our soul, and we're to live with it. He's called us out of the darkness and into the light. So that's what we should do. We should go out and we should spread that light. We should show how great God is. Even though Mr. Ricky passed away, it's heartbreaking, I know. But tomorrow when I go to work, or Tuesday when I go to work, I don't want to go in as defeated and hurt and broken. I want to go in as uplifted and encouraging, saying, hey, you know what? God didn't say we'd live forever. He promised that we would, if we live for him, that we'd be in heaven. And you know what? That's where he is right now. So let's rejoice for him instead of cry. Let's rejoice and be happy. So I pray that my light shines. I pray that all of you just let your light shine, because God's called us out of the darkness. It's hard going through trials. It's hard going through situations. I understand. I know. I've faced them. I've been in them myself. But joy cometh in the morning. It's not always going to be dark. It's not always going to be hurtful. It's not always going to be bad. It's not always going to be terrible. It's not always going to be hurting. There is joy. There is gladness. There is goodness in God. And if we seek him and we praise him and we glorify him, then that's what we'll have in our lives. Because the devil wants to tear you down. He wants to beat you down. He wants to knock you down. And he wants to keep you down. But I remember a country song when I was little I used to like. It's, you can't keep a good man down. And if you focus and you praise and you seek God and you let his light shine through you, then you're not going to be kept down. You're going to stand up and you're going to get up. You're going to fall and it hurts. But you know what? As long as we get up, then we still got God in our life. I told you it wasn't going to be long. It's pretty short and sweet. I appreciate the opportunity, Brother Eddie, and the church to be able to stand up here anytime. But understand, we've called out of darkness. Let's live in the light. Let's be what God has called us to be.
Thank you, Brother Tony. Let that light shine. Let that light shine. Who's got number two? All right.
Praise the Lord. I know y'all give me y'all see me, you know, almost every service, and I always like to say, let's give the Lord a hand. But let's give the Lord a hand and just praise his holy name. Testimony beget ministry. There are two strong, powerful things as we go forth, and we want to let the Lord's light shine through each and every one of us. And I want to echo what Brother Tony said. And through the songs tonight, as I was reading it, whom shall I fear? And there's also that same joy in the morning as there is in the valley. Just want to praise the Lord. And that's what my scripture is tonight, but that's what my testimony is. You know, y'all don't really know, we don't really know what each other's going through. You know, you may see me with a smile, or you may see me frowning, you may not know. Elaine says I give away a lot of things by my face, hence my nickname of Smurf. It actually started off with the name Smirk, that I smirked. Brother Lynn handed that to me a long time ago when we was playing spades. And these guys are serious when they play cards. They bring guns and knives. So I was very nervous of my next hand. And it's that eye. That's right. Praise the Lord. But he said, I said, how do you know what I've got? And he says, because you show it. You always smirk when you have a good hand. So if y'all see me smiling, it's not always because I'm giving something away. But I just want to tell you the joy of the Lord is in my heart. And I want to thank the Lord for that. But you don't know what each person's going through. I'm not going to sit here and tell you and wash my laundry, as my dad says. You don't wash it in public. You keep it inside and all. But through our brothers and sisters in Christ, who else is better for us to come to and ask for prayer? Ask to be uplifted. Ask to be held up. There's something that I want to read tonight. And as Brother Tony said that so graciously, and don't ring the bell. It's going to be very hard for me to cut this short, but this message has been on my heart for so long. But if you're not in Sunday school, you need to be. Amen. If you're not reading the Bible, by all means, read the Bible. If you're not letting the Lord lead you. It took us almost 9 months, I would say, close to a year, to go through Genesis in our adult Sunday school class. We're now in Exodus. But there's something here that the Lord laid on my heart. And I just want to say this to you tonight. Whom shall you fear? Because the songs answered my question. Lord, what do you want me to talk about? But it says, and God has a plan for each and every one of you. Whom shall you fear? God has that plan. Whether it be through death, through trial, through whatever. Because I want to ask you real quick. Have any of you ever been scorned or mocked or whatever to? Have y'all been thrown in a pit? Have you been sold? Have you been accused of a wrongdoing? Have you been thrown into prison? And then have you been forgotten about for the ones that you helped get out of prison? No. You know when Jacob, when he was leading his sons and he had his youngest son and he sent Joseph to find his brothers, they had already scorned him because of his dream. And then when they threw him in a pit and all the things that went through, but God, through His majesty, through His love, and through His plan for our Savior Jesus Christ, kept that seed going in a direction that would always be provided for. But once Jacob died, Joseph was completely in charge. His brethren did what? They feared. They feared that he was going to be scornful to them. And I'll just read this real quick in Genesis. And we're in 50. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it says, and this is Joseph will pre-adventure hate us. This is after his father Jacob had died and been buried. And I'm going to shorten it up to 16. It says, and they sent a messenger to Joseph saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph. Listen to this. Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespasses of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of thy servants, of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when he heard these things, and they spake unto him. He wept. He had all right to be scornful and everything. But even Joseph, see, we know the plan. Joseph was living in the real time. He didn't see tomorrow, except in his prayers. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. But what did God say, Joseph, through all the trials that we go through all the hard days, through all the situations, sickness, through death, through broken marriages, through children that aren't obeying us, through children or family members that have gone astray, that if we stay true to God, Amen. He will carry us through. He has a plan for each and every one of you tonight, from the youngest to the oldest. And I'm so proud the young ones are in here, because I want to tell you, God has a plan for your life. All you have to do is be obedient and willing to accept His way. But what did Joseph say unto them? Something that's very powerful. It's just stuck in my heart since we studied it. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. If I would look at my situations and look at things going on, y'all know Elaine and I, and we're truthful. I probably say too much. She says I kind of wash my laundry a little bit too much in front of folks, but our family is an aging family. There are a lot of situations we go through. There are a lot of things going on now. Decisions have to be made. We're supposed to slip off for a little short vacation for our anniversary trip. And it's the worst timing in the world for us to have this reservation. But we're placing it in God's hands. But he said, fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you fought evil against me. You thought you were doing me wrong. But God meant it unto good. Everything that God did in his life, no matter what situation was, God meant it for good. God took that situation, turned it around, placed it. God knew all along what he was doing. But in my mind, God had to fix it, mold it, bend it. Not only did he get thrown in the pit, but it just so happened that caravan was coming by. Not only was he sold, and when they sold him, it was to someone that needed him and hired him. Right. And he became so strong that he became number two in that house. And then when he was tempted, and he was a man, and he went to God, said, God, I need you. And he turned and ran. But yet he was accused of doing a wrongdoing and thrown into prison. God meant this all for good because he knew to get to Pharaoh, to get to the king, to get to everything that had to be done through the prayer interpretations, through everything that had to be done, each step had to go. And he says, and I want to read this again, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now, therefore, fear not. I will nourish you and your little ones conformed them and spake kindly unto each and every one of them. That's my message for y'all tonight. Short and sweet. Thank you, Brother Eddie. Thank you for obeying the Lord. I've been wanting to tell somebody that I don't care what you're going through. If you're a child of God, or if you're not a child of God, if you'll turn your life over to them, he can heal you in any kind of ministry. You can be under any kind of addictions. You can be under any kind of stress. You could be unemployed. You could be homeless. You could be naked. You could be hungry, no matter what situation it is. But if you call on the name of the Lord and sincerely repent and turn your life to him, he will take it. He will clean it up. He will put it together. It could be with just a young person going downtown, handing out a sack lunch and just saying, Jesus loves you. You will remember this day because I want each and every one of you to place it in your heart no matter what you're going through tonight. It's easy to praise him on top, isn't it? Sister Lisa, thank you for that song. It is easy to praise him on the mountaintop. But can we praise him when we're in the valley? When that storm comes against us, when those winds are blowing and the bondage seems so tight that what can we do? It doesn't matter how hard you try and you really want to do good, but it seems like everything's for naught. But if we place it in God's hands, amen. And y'all have heard me have this testimony, and I'm going to quit. Elaine and I were trying to buy a house, and we didn't deserve one. I'd made some hard financial decisions that were wrong. I thought fun was more important than bills. But we finally kept trying, and situations would come forth, and we'd try to do the lease purchase. We'd try to do this and that. But finally, we brought it to the church. And during this time, we'd come back to the Lord. He'd never left me. I had turned my back on him. I was walking too close to the edge and I fell over. But when I came back, and we stood in a parking lot one evening of a financial lady. We'd found the house we wanted, my son, and everybody kind of said, this is the one you want. And Elaine says, let's pray right here. I'm so grateful for a strong woman in my life. But when it was all said and done, y'all know me, I'm a talker. We said, Lord, if this is your will, let it be done. If it's not, we'll move on. But everything had fell through before. I mean, all kinds of situations. We were all upset. I was all upset. We sat in there, and the lady did some quick numbers, and within just a matter of minutes, she told Elaine, says, it's approved. And I'm running my mouth. And finally, she looked at me and said, sir, hush. I want to run these numbers again. This shouldn't be approved. And that's what she told us. Young ask Elaine. She will vouch for me 100%. I am not making this up. God is great. And then when we got through with the numbers, all of a sudden, we were fixed to be homeowners again. God blesses that way. When you least expect it, but you put your faith in him, God will respect your prayer and he'll give you. But, you know, I'm nothing like Joseph. I have been in a pit before. I have fell over and wished I'd have been somewhere else. I've made mistakes. But God led me all the way through it. And he opened the doors. He closed many. And I was getting flustered. But it's the same God on the mountaintop as he is in the valley. The same God in the storm as he is on those bluebird mornings sitting in a deer stand somewhere. He's the same God when you hold that little baby or your grandbabies. He's the same God that loves you, that wants to hold you just like that. So my message tonight is God has a plan for you. So why should you fear? If you fear anything, it's fear falling off, because there is a heaven and a hell. And I want you to choose righteousness over the world. Love each and every one of you. Thank you.
Amen. Fear ye not. Number three, Brother Rowdy. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
Brother
the Lord.
Jim, you could have kept on going there. Wow, you got that in 4 minutes? Where'd Brother Jim go? Praise the Lord. That's a miracle. Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand. Me and Brother Jim was going downstairs, so we got 4 minutes. But you know the Lord's able. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm in miracle mode, because that's been our Sunday school, is miracles, you know. And God really opened my eyes to how many more miracles there really are.
Right.
You know, we know the big ones, amen? And we understand them, and we read them in the Bible, but there are so many more miracles than we realize in each and every life here. Yeah. He talked about a miracle in their lives, amen? You may think it's coincidence or it just worked out with numbers on a house mortgage, but no, God is about His people, amen? He always has been, and He always will be, amen? We were teaching this morning, so I'm going to continue a little bit on that, and it's going to be a miracle if I can quit, amen? Because I've had the eye surgery, and I can't see that clock. Can somebody say amen? But we was talking about the woman at the well. Y'all all familiar with the Samaritan woman at the well, amen? And we talked about the journey on the way to that well, too. You know, there was a journey, and that the Lord had carried her to, and then we talked about the moment at the well when the Lord opened her eyes to where she had been and where she was in her life. It was a miracle, amen? It was a miracle for you also and for me, amen, when the Lord opened us up to see ourselves, amen? But I want to talk about on the other side of that well, amen? Because that's kind of where I continue. I couldn't let it go after the Sunday school lesson this morning. And I want to read a couple of scriptures to you. And then Lord, just flag me down, Brother Eddie. But in St. John, the 4th chapter, Jesus is staying in Sychar. He's going to stay for a couple of days and preach to them. Amen. To the Samaritans. In verse 32, John 4:32 said, "But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. I have meat to eat that you know not of. Right. And therefore said the disciples to one another, hath any man brought him aught to eat?" They thought he's talking about real meat.
Right.
And so in verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." And that's what I want to speak about, is the miracle that is taking place right there in these scriptures. The Lord, you know, Jesus is opening their knowledge of something they don't know nothing about. Amen. And He's opened, just like He's done me and you. And the miracle of that, the understanding that you have of the Lord, everything spiritual that you do understand, not saying you have to understand it all, Brother Eddie, but that you do understand is truly a miracle. Amen? It's not to be taken for granted or taken lightly, but it's a miracle in the makings. And there's many, many other miracles that we miss in our life. I hope God will open you up tonight, this short mini message, that you'll start to see the miracles that are taking place every day in our life. I stand up here now and I see a lot of miracles sitting in pews. Amen. I see each and every one of your faces. And it's a miracle. Amen. Because some don't grasp a hold of what Jesus is talking about. Praise God. They miss the meat of the conversation sometimes. Amen. But we're in a time that we don't need to miss the meal Jesus is trying to feed us. Praise God. He's bringing us to a day and a time of understanding. Woo, praise God. And Brother Eddie, don't know how God used him this morning. Maybe he does, but he said something this morning, praise God. He was making a response about how he feels and thinks about a situation. He said, "If you don't believe it, get back to me on the last day of the world." Well, that flew all over me, Brother Chase. Because you know what? Instantly the Lord whispered in my ear, that is a real day. Do you realize that's a real day that's coming? I can't change it. You can't change it. There will be a last day to this world. But praise God, He's given us the miracle of understanding and the knowledge to know that there's a brighter day. There's a life that man can't destroy. There is a place in heaven that we don't even know what He's did, but He's prepared it for us. And that's a miracle, knowing that and understanding. And it's more of a miracle believing it. Amen. People about believe anything today. What do we believe? You know, a person will be about the business of what they do believe. Amen. But here on the backside of this whale, I want you to understand this beautiful picture, Brother Eddie. It's a beautiful picture of salvation. On the way to it, and the moment at the whale when you were saved, and on the backside of that, what happens? Jesus is teaching them not only about salvation and how to be saved, but how to reach others. And the miracle of that alone, praise God, is what we need to digest tonight. Amen?
Yes, amen.
I don't know whose water it is. I'm going to say, bless it, Jesus. That medicine's giving me dry mouth. But praise God, God carries me back. In my youth, you know, I wasn't saved, but I was 8 years old first time I met my granddaddy on Lookout Mountain. And we went up there just across the Alabama line. It's called Bryan, Alabama. Go figure. I was real excited about seeing Bryan, Alabama. You know, look, it's got my name on everything. So we got there. I'm coming through town and I saw the sign. I said, whoa, that's exciting. You know, we passed a little post. I said, Daddy, when are we going to see Bryan, Alabama? He said, you just did. I said, okay, but that ain't the meaning of my story. We went on down. We went to this old Independent Baptist Church. How many of you have ever heard of them? And I'm talking about a long time ago, 40-something years ago. But we come in the back door. You ever seen a pot belly stove in a church? How many has ever seen that? Praise God, that's the way it used to be. Well, listen, we went in that church. We come through the back doors. It was kind of designed the way this church was. We started walking in. I didn't see nobody. There wasn't nobody in the church. So, well, this, you know, ain't nobody here. I don't think they're really going to have. But as we begin to walk by them pews, each pew, as I looked down, had people on their knees. They were all on their knees. And I started feeling, I was only 8, but I felt something I ain't never felt before. I felt the fear of God. Well, that preacher got up, and honey, if there's a Babacostal, he was one. Because he started preaching, that pot-belly stove was just a smoking, and guess what he was preaching on? Hell, and how hot it was. And boy, I was scared to death, because I was listening to him talk about hell, and that's where you're going to go if you don't believe Jesus. And I seen that stove just a-glowing and a-smoking. You might not think it's a miracle, praise God, but I did. Later on, I didn't know it was that a miracle then, but I come to know that was a miracle, because that was Jesus, Chase, telling me, and he was meeting me at the well, praise God. I was on my journey because I was on that side of the well, praise God. But the day he got me to the well and showed me, amen. Now we're on the backside. And we're still on the journey for the Lord. And there's many miracles. Don't miss the miracles. Please open your eyes. They're little, small. Some people just walk by them. But there are miracles happening every day. Amen. And you and I are one of them. Amen. And just as the pastor said this morning, there's coming a last day to this world that we put our feet on now. Amen. But praise God, let us not miss the promise. Amen. Let us not miss the meat Jesus was talking about in John chapter 4. Amen. To them Samaritans. And you know what? I'll end with this. He wasn't even supposed to go by Samaria. All the Jews went around it. But he had an appointment. Can I tell you this? He had an appointment with each and every one of you. You know, and I think tonight, boy, what a miracle. Too, that he won't let me go. Jesus don't lose sheep. I thank him for that. You can try, but he'll bring you back. Let's give him praise tonight. That's all.
My. Miracles. Amen. Number 4. Brother Chris.
Amen. God is good, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
All the time. Amen. I was sitting in a manager's meeting this week, and my wife can tell you I've got my phone. When you text me, it reads it out loud. I do that for several different reasons. That way, if it's important, I can get right on it and kind of not overlook it. But one of my pastor friends, he always texts me a Bible verse every morning. And I had texted him back just before I got into the meeting. And it was something to the effect of, amen, hallelujah. That's generally what I do. And for some reason, he texts back and said, God is good. And my general manager looked across to me when it read off. He said, "What did that say? God is good?" I said, "Yes, He is all the time. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good." Amen. This morning as we were getting ready for church, I just want to testify and share some scripture with you the Lord laid on my heart. But as we were getting ready for church, generally I don't go in there and sit down and watch TV, but I just felt the urge to go in there and sit down, turn the TV on and watch TV, you know. And generally, you know, I'll watch the Weather Channel or something like that. I'm not really big into much anything, you know. And I turned the TV on. It was on National Geographic. So that's a channel I hardly ever watch. I just don't. That doesn't appease to me. That's not something I watch. And it was talking about World War II. And so the more I started watching it, the more I started getting fascinated by it. And it was amazing because God was talking to me the whole time that that was on. And little did I know what was going to happen a few hours later. But as I'm watching this, I'm watching in 1938 that Hitler really started to do different things. And I never knew that. I thought everything happened in 1941. Well, you know, if I'd have really been paying attention in the history books, I'd have known that it started in 1938. But we as Americans wanted to turn a blind eye to what was going on in Europe. And we didn't want to be involved in that. We wanted to live our life and be happy and do whatever we wanted to do. Just got out of World War I. We didn't want to go back into another World War. So the Japanese made sure that they put us in the crosshairs. One thing that stood out, though, is Hitler tagged all the Jews. They had to wear these armbands that showed that they were Jewish, that showed that they stood out. You know, the more that I started watching that, the more the Lord started showing me, we as Christians do that a lot. We turn our backs on what the devil is doing and say, you know what, it's going to get better, it's going to get better, it's going to get better. The whole time the devil's got us in the crosshairs. And he's saying, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to take you out. And we turn our backs on everything that we look at. We can turn the news off. Yeah, turn it off. Everything's going to get better. It's not going to get better. It's not going to get better until my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Then will I hear from heaven. You know what? And the message Brother Eddie preached this morning, oh my, that was God. That was absolutely God. And hallelujah. Thank you for being obedient, Brother Eddie. Thank you for being obedient. I want you to go to Psalms chapter number 3. One of my favorite passages of scriptures, Psalms chapter number 3, going to start in verse number 1. You know, as Brother Eddie was up here this morning, he was singing, you know, I've got one more river to cross. I was sitting there, I was thinking, you know, I used to hear my dad sing songs like that. One more mountain to climb, one more valley that I'm going to go through. I'm leaving it all behind. And, you know, I couldn't help but think about those that have passed on. And I couldn't help but think that, you know, the Lord was telling me the days before me are fewer than the days behind me. I have a place I'm going to. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you can't shout about nothing else, honey, you can shout about that because He paid the price for you. Hallelujah. When I wasn't able to go, He made a way for me to go. Hallelujah. John 14:6 said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you're trying to go to heaven somewhere else, you ain't going to make it. It's going to have to be through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I hate to tell you, you're not good enough. You're not good enough to make it to heaven. It's going to be by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That's how we're going to go through. Too many times the church looks down and says, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Psalms chapter 3, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. I like the conjunction word right here. Because a conjunction word, a grammar teacher will teach you, is a bridge that builds from one side to another. It hooks the things together. And but is the conjunction word here. It hooks everything together. But, watch this, thou, O Lord, art a shield for me.
Hallelujah. My wife can be a shield for me. My kids can be a shield for me. But let me tell you something, honey. When I'm going through a trial, when I'm going through a struggle, when I'm going through something that don't nobody know nothing about, then God Almighty said, you know what? I'm going to be a shield for you. I'm going to be a shield for you. And somebody looks at you and says, Brother Chris, why are you looking down? Why are you looking down? Because I'm having a hard time. Because I'm going through this battle. Because I'm in this valley right now. And I know God is real. I know He's still God, and I know He's still on the throne. But watch what God did. He's a shield for me. He's my glory, and He's the lifter up of my head. When nothing else can bring me joy, He can bring me joy. Well, in the middle of a storm, He brings me joy, and He brings me peace. Hallelujah. I cried unto the Lord in verse 4 with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill. I have a vision of that. Of God sitting on His throne and me crying, help! Help me, Lord! Help me, Lord! And Him saying, what was that? What was that? I gotta go help. Hallelujah. Sometimes I believe God dispatches angels on my behalf, and sometimes I believe that God Almighty comes down Himself and dwells right there with me and sits right there beside me. You said, Brother Chris, where's your proof of that? Go look at Jacob when he was going across the ford Jabbok. He was sitting right there and he was wrestling with an angel. A lot of Bible scholars think that was none but the Lord God Almighty right there with him, because he said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And I'm telling somebody, you need to hold on. Hallelujah. Because just a little while longer, we're going to be going home. Just a little while longer. Just keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing. We're going to go home. Hallelujah. And it's all going to be worth it. The eastern sky is going to part. We're going to hear that trumpet sound. Hallelujah. Every grave is going to, hallelujah, open up. And we'll be caught up with our loved ones. And the Bible tells me, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. We will evermore be with the Lord. We will rule and we will reign. Hallelujah. Romans chapter number 8. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. And I'm hurrying. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Sometimes I don't know what to say. Sometimes I don't know what to pray. But all I know is I'm going to let God pray through me. Because there's something deeper inside of me than what words can express. Hallelujah. I can tell my wife every day, honey, I love you. Honey, I love you. She can tell, I love you. I love you. But there's something deeper inside than what words even mean, than what words can even express. And that's what God's trying to use through us. Amen. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And verse 28 is what Brother Jim was talking about. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Sister Lisa, you might have got a bad report from the doctor, but God said, I'm going to work it for your good. I'm going to work it for your good. You just hold on a little while and you see, and God turned that thing around. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. I can hear Paul getting a little bit excited right here. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. My son comes to me sometimes. He loves to play Madden football. And he's trying to build a team. And when you build a team, you got to get these players. And he comes to me almost every day, Dad, I got so-and-so. And it makes my team go up by so many points. And I got this person, I got that person. And I'm like, wow, you was able to get. And I tell him, I said, you need to get this person and that person. And he's like, Dad, I can't. I got to work my way up to him. I'm like, awesome. But as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, who's on my team? If nobody else goes on my team, hallelujah. The old song I used to sing when I was a little person. I was younger. Whenever I was a younger person, I was. Whenever I was younger, though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. The song is, I have decided to follow Jesus. Many years ago, I had decided to follow Jesus. It's been a lonely road at times, and at times it hasn't been. But I'll tell you what, there's one thing about it. God's never left me. He's always been right there with me. Hallelujah. If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. Come on, somebody. And also maketh intercession for us. Somebody's going to bat for me. Hallelujah. He's on the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for you and for me. Who shall separate us, verse 5, from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written in verse 36, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, shall be able to separate us in the last part of the verse 39 from the love of God.
Amen.
Can't nothing separate me from the love of God. I'm holding on to his hand. Hallelujah. Soon church will be going home. Soon we'll be going home. It won't be much longer. It won't be much longer. If you've made plans, cancel them, because soon we'll be going home. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Brother Chris. Glory to God. Number 5, Brother Adam. Praise God.
Glory. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to stand tonight and to talk to you. And I want to start by just saying I apologize for not being as faithful and as involved as I should have been the past year. I know what it's like to have my enemies thrust sore against me and to attack me and my family and try to shake the very foundation that it was built upon. But because that foundation was built upon Christ, it still stands today. I can't say that the blows that hit me didn't hurt and didn't throw me for a loop at times of what in the world was going on. But something I even learned as recent as this past Friday at our little Chick-fil-A meeting is that wolves are necessary. You know, a lot of times we think about wolves and we think about, you know, wolves in sheep's clothing, especially in the last days. The Bible talks about wolves in sheep's clothing, and they'll creep in and they'll try to destroy and to eat up and cause havoc. Let me tell you, the same way that Satan worked in the Garden of Eden, he's still working today. He'll come in dressed as an angel of light, but really be a wolf in sheep's clothing. But if it wasn't for those wolves, those trials and those temptations that come into our lives, how far would we stray from God? Think about the times when those trials and tribulations that come into your life that you don't understand, they drive you to Christ. They drive you to your knees many times. Many times it's hard to understand, and you know what? There's a lot of things I don't understand. But you know, when you can look back at your life and you can see how God has brought you through, how he protected you, and how if you obey him, he will give you the right paths. Can I tell you tonight that the right paths don't always look right to everybody else? Sometimes you have to be bold and you have to be really trusting in God that he's telling you and you're hearing the right thing from him. Listen, I know that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. There's no question in my mind that he saved me and that he's given me gifts and talents to use for his glory. He called me to preach the gospel, and I will always be a preacher of the gospel. But about a year ago, probably a little over a year ago, I had to have a conversation with Brother Eddie. I had to tell him I didn't need to stand behind this pulpit. I wasn't in a place where I needed to stand behind the pulpit and speak to others, because may have come out of me may not have been encouraging. It may have been despair. It may have been of a spirit that wasn't right. Now, many people judged me for that. They told me that I'd backslidden and that I was no longer a preacher and that God was done with me. But I just said, God, I know what you told me to do. You told me to have integrity and respect enough for your house and for your people to step aside. Not quit, not give up, just step aside and be seasoned and learn. Be ministered to. But you know, everybody don't see it that way. And you know what? When your own family looks at you and says, you're a backslidden preacher because you obeyed God. That's hard. But you know what? I had to just keep walking forward. There was times that I was walking on my knees. There was times that I didn't know exactly what God was doing or how He was going to work it out. But He's working it out. He's working it out. You know, I don't know. You know, we don't often know what other people are going through. You know, because we do tend to try to hide things, keep it to ourselves. We don't, you know, like Brother Smurf said about hiding, don't wash your laundry. Well, I understand that. I get that. But you know what? We're a family. There's no other place that you should be able to wash your laundry than right here in the house of God. Because through the blood of Jesus Christ, that laundry can be washed clean. And we can walk out of here better than we were when we came. But you know what? As a congregation, we better be right with God. So that when somebody stands up and expresses their heart, we don't judge them. And we don't kick them while they're down. We pray for them. We help them. We embrace them. We comfort them. We encourage them. Because we don't know what it's like to walk in their shoes. A few months ago, Brother Tony sent me a text message. And I thank every one of you that has sent me text or just sent me emails. Sister Penny, she won't give up. I mean, she just shoots. You know Sister Penny. She just tells you what's on her mind. And she just plain out sent me an email one day, said she ain't giving up, so I might as well just come back to church. You know, I read that email and I just laughed. And I sent her back and I said, thank you. Because I needed that. I needed that song Brother Tony texted me too. It was called Even If. I can't tell you how many times I've listened to that song since then. But there's a part of that song that says, I stood on this stage night after night, trying to sing and to minister to others. But right now, I just can't. When I heard those lyrics in that song, that was me. The devil had robbed me of my song. Yes. I couldn't sing. It wasn't that I didn't have a desire. It wasn't that I didn't have a heart to. But you know, it's easy to sing when there's nothing to bring me down. It's easy to sing when you're on the mountain and everything's going good.
Come on, brother, tell it.
But when you've been sore thrust against, yes, and your back's against the wall and you're not even real sure how to fight, it's hard to sing.
That's right.
But you know what? He is my song.
That's right.
And I can sing His praises because He never lets go. He has held me in the palm of His hand. He has strengthened me and encouraged me. And He's used a lot of you to do it. Thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. Listen, there's still work to be done. You know, I thank you for that ministry that Brother Chase and Sister Autumn have and Brother Tony and Sister Karen working with the youth. Because it makes a difference. It makes a difference in their lives. And I'll tell you, it made a difference in mine too. I might not be standing here tonight if my daughter hadn't encouraged me to get up and let's go to church. Listen, there was times when I was just ready to quit. I was just ready to give up. But she says, no, I want to go to church. And you know what? I couldn't say to my daughter, we ain't going to church. I ain't taking you to church. My daughter wants to go to church. And you know what? She encouraged me. And you know what she says? We go. When are we going to start going back Sunday nights? So here we are. You know what she said this morning? When are we going to start going back to Sunday school?
You go, Gracie.
You know what? If it takes her, if God can use her to speak to me, and to get me back on track, and to do the things that I need to do, and to become the leader that I need to be. Listen, she's been going to that Elevate on Friday nights. She's got her friends coming to that. And it's making a difference in those lives. That ministry that they're doing is doing something wonderful. We need to support them.
That's right.
We need to pray for them. It's not the least we can do. It's the most we can do. We need to pray that God will continue to make that ministry burn. Let it be on fire. Let it keep speaking to the hearts of young people to get them to stand up and to push back instead of just accepting that the church has given up. We need that young generation to fire us up. And you know what? God's working there. I'm thankful for it. In Psalms 25, David said, "Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long I put my hope in you. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and unfailing love, which you have shown from long ages past. Do not remember the rebellious sins of my youth. Remember me in the light of your unfailing love, for you are merciful, O God. The Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray." Listen, we should be vessels and tools that He uses to help people find their way.
Yes.
The way back to Him.
Amen.
Listen, we won't do it by condemning and criticizing and casting them down.
That's right.
We'll do it by lifting them up.
Amen.
We'll do it by encouraging them. We'll do it by smiling at them. We'll do it by telling them how much we love them. We'll do it by sending them a text message that says, "Brother, I was thinking about you when I heard this song." We'll do it by sending an email that says, "I'm not giving up on you, so you might as well just get back where you know you're supposed to be." We will do it by preaching the gospel that tells us not to give up, but to press forward and move forward.
Amen.
And we'll do it by loving one another.
Amen.
The way He loved us.
Yes.
I love you, church. This is my church. I've never really officially become a member of this church. But I'm telling you, this is my church. This is my church. And you know what? It's not just my church. It's my family's church. And God's going to fix that too.
Praise God. All right.
Be in prayer for me and my family. Because there's a restoration that God's doing, and I know it. I got faith, and I believe that what He's joined together, man's not going to separate.
All right.
Because greater is He that's in us than he that's trying to destroy.
Amen.
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 Be encouraged tonight.
Praise God.
Those that are not living exactly the way you want them to live, and they're not doing exactly what you think they should do, love them.
Yes.
Embrace them. Encourage them. And trust God to do the work in their lives. He will, and He will not fail.
Amen.
Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.
Thank you, Brother Adam, for such a heartfelt testimony, such an encouraging word. My, my, my. And thank you, Gracie. Thank you, young people. Thank you, youth leaders. I was reminded of the story. My granddaddy, pastor, for I don't know how many years, 40 years, I guess, God used him to build and start three churches in his ministry. Back when he first started going to church with his wife, my grandmother, he was unsaved. Wasn't too really up on going to church. He just kind of went with her every once in a while, sit back. Got on to her for paying tithes. He said, we just barely make it, and you go over and give that preacher all his money. But one night they was coming back, and it had been kind of a good service, and the youngest son, which is my Uncle Marvin, was leaning over the back of the seat, you know, back then before seatbelts were required. And he said, Daddy, had a good service tonight, didn't we? Papa said, yeah, it was good service. He said, Daddy, why didn't you go to the altar tonight? My granddaddy was kind of struck, and he come back with the only answer he could. He said, well, why didn't you go? Marvin said, well, I would have if you'd have went. He said that he didn't get saved that night, but he said, buddy, it put a scar on his heart. He said the first opportunity that he could get, he made things right with the Lord. Amen. And many people have been led to the Lord by young people. You hear me say this all the time. They're not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today. Amen. They're very needful in our church today. Well, I don't know about you, but I feel like I went to the greatest restaurant in the world and I ordered the sampler platter. Amen. You ever done that? You can't decide which one you want, so you just order all of it. And we have been so blessed tonight. Did you enjoy this tonight? Were you blessed by this? Amen. Glory to God. Amen. You never know. Never know what a text will mean. You never know what a word of encouragement will mean. Would you stand to your feet tonight? With every head bowed, every eye closed. We'll never dismiss a service without giving you an opportunity to come to the altar. Man, if you have a need.